Julia for Julia. First of all, do you think I'm sexy in the Rolling Stones pre-Ronnie Wood and Hide Your Love? Interesting in that Ronnie Wood documentary, Rod Stewart said, it wasn't me what broke up the Faces, Governor. Because the others, Ronnie Wood, Ronnie Lane, Ian McLagan and Kenny Jones, had insinuated over the years that Rod wanted to go solo, and that's the reason the Faces ended and Ronnie joined the Stones.
But that's not true, then.
Apparently not.
Apparently not, OK.
Honest, Governor. Now, some big news about Carte Séjour. Yes, that old subject again. From the local France Today, France is set to shortly open its long-awaited online application process for the Carte Séjour residency card that all Brits in France will need after Brexit. It's been a long 4 years since the Brexit referendum, tell me about it. And since then, several different systems have been proposed for British people in France, many relating to what would happen in the case of a no-deal Brexit, which could still happen. You could be forgiven for now being hopelessly confused about the whole process. But the basics are every British citizen living in France has to apply for a new resident status and a new carte de séjour under the withdrawal agreement. This applies whether you have a current carte de séjour or whether you don't have a carte de séjour at all. You've got until June the 30th, 2021 to do this, so Sarah will be doing it on June the 29th, 2021.
You rotter.
This is a very important deadline. Please note it in your diaries. If you don't make your application by that date, you may not be covered by the withdrawal agreement at all. But they like you, so you'll be all right, won't you?
That's just because I was telling my conversation with the tax people yesterday, that's all.
Applications will be made on a new online application platform, which will be launched in July. So that's good news. You won't have to hoof it down to the prefecture and stand in line with everybody else. You'll need to complete the form and upload the documents that you are asked for according to your situation. Your application form and documents will be passed to your local prefecture, which will then deal with your application. As your new cards will be biometric, you'll be... Oh, here we go. You'll then be asked to visit the prefecture for fingerprinting. Oh, God. They got my fingerprints already. They took them last time. The new card will state specifically that it's been issued under the withdrawal agreement and you'll be able to use it as evidence that you're covered by it. The good news is all cards will be free of charge.
Oh, that's good.
It is good. And there's lots of information about this on the local website. Far too much, 3 pages of it actually, so I can't read it all now, but the details are all there. Good news again, if you have already got an existing carte séjour, the process should be relatively simple. I don't know if it still means you have to go down to the prefecture for new fingerprints, but you would think not, seeing as we were all
You'd
done
have thought
last
they'd
year.
Have, yes, but they often like to do things over again, don't they?
Yeah, and again, and again. So all the information is on thelocal.fr, thelocal.fr. There is a paywall up, but you should be able to see just at least one article, so make sure you click on that one before you click on anything else, otherwise it'll ask you to pay. Right, back to Love, Sex and Money and Adventures of Stevie V. Dirty Cash, Money Talks for Bradley.
I tell you what's really bugging me at the moment is people who have the same name but is spelled completely differently. I'm so sorry for all of you people, and I know there are many in this room tonight. It's such an odd, unnecessary waste of your life. Like Sarah with an H, or Sarah without an H. Sarah without an H is pronounced like this. Sarah. And with an H, Sarah. But Sarah has spent the whole of her life going, Sarah, with an H, with an H, that's with an H. Is that with an H? No, there's no H. Sorry, there's an H, you put an H, there's no H, there's actually no H. What a waste of life. Like Stuart with a W is pronounced like this. Stuart. Without a W. Stuart. What are we doing? It's not like it's... What's your name? Stuart. Stuart. And you are? Stuart. Stuart. And this is my wife, Sarah. Oh! Stuart and Sarah. Have you met Stuart? This is Stuart. Come and meet the others. It's Stephen and Stepen. Do say hello. This is Stuart. Stuart and Sarah. Stephen and Stepen. Oh, if it isn't Jeff and Geoff, join the party. Jeff and Geoff and your wife Jill and Gil. Jeff, I forget who's with who. Jill is with Geoff and Jeff is with Jill. This is Stuart. Stuart. Stephen, Stepen and Sarah. This is the three Seans. Do join the party. We've got Sean, Seen, and Shaun. Come on in. Sean, Seen, and Shaun. This is Stuart, Stuart, Stephen, Stepen, Jeff, Geoff, Jill, Gill, and Sarah. What a waste of life. Why bother?
Don't know how he remembers it all.
Very good.
Sarah with an H.
Always. Today's quiz, question number one. Can you tell me the following lyrics are from which song? I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel
Beatles.
All right. Yes. And?
Can't Buy Me Love.
Correct. And these lyrics are from which song? I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to
Abba.
Be... Yes.
Money, money, money.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, who had a hit in 1979 with Money, That's What I Want?
Flying Lizards.
Well done.
Which has been Request Laser, actually.
Okie dokie.
In fact, I could play it now, couldn't I?
You could
really?
Do.
Yeah. If I can find it quickly. This is for Piers, because he...
I didn't know the Beatles also recorded this song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's an old song, but this is a radically different version. Piers wanted a very rude Marianne Faithfull track to start with, but he changed his mind. Luckily, the news is next.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you. For a Friday, it's the best day of the week, of course, so we should rejoice and embrace it.
I can smell the masala sauce wafting as far down as the south of France. Now, don't tell us you haven't had the barbie fired up the last day or so.
I haven't had a barbecue the last couple of days.
No
doubt it'll come out over the course of the weekend. I was just saying today, actually, to someone that, you know, as soon as the restaurant's open, a nice curry dish would be perfect. A little portion of beef tikka, venison tikka, duck tikka is the other part we have. Mushroom pilau rice, very hot vindaloo sauce, warm pashwari naan, drop of pepper tree shiraz, perfect.
Now I'll be going for chicken jalfrezi, pilau rice and a cheese naan, if you don't mind, and some rice as well. To call the gob down, you know.
I'm looking forward to the restaurant's opening, put it that way.
Well, don't go to Bournemouth, whatever you do.
It was lovely down there yesterday. We really had a good day. It was a little bit busy, but... I mean, you know, listen, Britain's done pretty well in terms of adhering to the rules, as we said, Jim. What has been a long time and a strict lockdown, it feels like, but...
Well, the rest of Europe thinks you're all mad.
As soon as the thermometer rose yesterday, enough was enough, and thousands upon thousands of people hit the beaches and all got a little bit crazy.
Your idea of a strict lockdown and another European country's idea of a strict lockdown are two completely different things.
True. I'm sure people who were in Spain, who were in Italy, clearly had a very difficult
time. And in France.
You
know, you stuck to it, otherwise you got fined, and the police were certainly out and about checking everybody.
Okay, well... It all came to a bit of a crescendo yesterday, basically, but let's hope it was a one-off.
Okay, I shouldn't think so, though. Markets. Choppy down Wall Street yesterday, but markets taking some encouragement from a loosening of bank regulations.
Yeah, exactly right. We did see equity markets bouncing back in what was a volatile session. European shares closed high yesterday. Lufthansa rallied after a major shareholder backed a government rescue plan there. S&P 500 closed up 1.1% with a jump in the last hour of trading. Remember, that follows the previous session decline of 2.6%. This was despite one of the highest ever increases in US coronavirus cases, prompting Texas and Florida to halt the next phase of reopening their economies. And worse than expected, jobless claims in the United States, 1.48 million claims during the course of last week. New jobless claims since mid-March now stand at 47 million. Quite incredible. So banking sector did well, was up around about 2.6%. Got a boost after the regulators eased restrictions on banks that were imposed after the financial crisis. What does the change mean? Well, it frees up banks to invest in fast-growing venture capital funds. No longer will be required to stash away cash to support derivative trades in other divisions within the financial institution. So that was good for sentiment. Let's say good finish on Wall Street sets us up for a strong start on the European Open this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 81 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 175 points. CAC Corner Paris up 75 points.
Stark warning from the Fed yesterday saying that America's banks could be hit by losses of up to $700 billion if there's a severe downturn due to the coronavirus pandemic, which looks like it's going to happen. They did the stress test yesterday but didn't say how individual banks fared under the simulation.
I didn't say how individual banks have gone through this process. Remember, this is to see how they can cope with various stress levels. Also reviewed the effects of the coronavirus on the economy and the financial system. What the Fed did say is the banking system remains well capitalized under even the harshest of downside scenarios, but the regulators is requiring the banks to take on a more prudent approach that includes a capping dividend payments at the second quarter level, said that future payouts would be limited by a formula based on recent earnings. They also are banning share buybacks through to the end of September. Banks are preserving capital to absorb those larger losses caused by the pandemic. Most important thing is, of course, so far it appears the medical crisis has not turned into one that's going to develop into a financial crisis. Lots of lessons were learned as a result of the great financial crisis. The banks came into the pandemic, fortunately, in a much stronger footing. So if you look at those capital ratios, if you look at liquidity, if you look at asset quality, it was significantly stronger. And that's important given the level of shock that we've been seeing across the financial system.
How are your stress levels?
Pretty high, to be honest. Two
really?
Children at home all the time. But yeah, pretty high.
Haven't gone back yet?
They have gone back. One's gone back full time, one's gone back part time, yes.
Okay, so they're not at home?
Well, they'll be home. Yeah, they've gone back.
What's like, really bugging you then?
Next week they break up for school holidays, so yes.
Well, you'll be able to take them on a day trip down to Bournemouth, won't you?
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Well, Southend-on-Sea, I see, was also pretty popular yesterday.
Okay, you've been pushing Margate as a place to go and enjoy yourself,
yeah,
haven't you?
But it even made the French newspapers that Bournemouth fiasco yesterday. Yeah.
I didn't really. I saw some of it. What is this national? There was a sort of measure to sort of impose some sort of state of national emergency in the Bournemouth area.
Well, no, they called a state of emergency because basically the police and the emergency services couldn't cope with nearly 500,000 people thronging to the beaches.
There was tons upon tons of rubbish.
Yeah, that's just disgusting.
Well,
that's really, really awful.
It wasn't good. It wasn't the finest moment, but there we go.
OK, and you're determined to carry on talking about Brexit despite my protestations. No change.
It looks that way. The UK's chief Brexit negotiator has reportedly rejected a potential compromise in the trade negotiations with the European Union. David Frost tweeted that Britain isn't prepared to accept tariffs if the country makes laws in its own interest. This after reports in the media suggest the UK would sign up to the EU's so-called level playing field, which would require the UK to follow EU rules on rights for workers and the environment, for example. The EU said that they would reserve the ability to impose tariffs if Britain deviated from those rules. Fresh UK-EU talks are scheduled for next week. Two sides are trying to break the impasse. Without a deal, of course, Britain and the European Union would default to trading on World Trade Organization terms from the 1st of January 2020, no doubt meaning a steep increase in tariffs and, of course, an economic shock, just at a time when you probably don't need one.
Well, with 6 months to go, it's looking increasingly likely we're heading for a no-deal Brexit, and I've been listening to a lot of opinion from business in the UK who say they just basically don't know what's going on or what's going to happen. I mean, the government's insisted it wants business to have certainty, but apart from the fact that they're going to have their tariffs hiked up and there's going to be a no-deal, there's no more certainty than that.
It's not, and businesses are looking for certainty. I think the risk of perhaps, or the impact of a no-deal Brexit is probably better, but less dramatic perhaps than we'd have seen a few years ago. The reality is businesses have had 4 years to try and plan and develop solutions for this. It's not been easy, but they've certainly been aware of it for a prolonged period of time. They would require the certainty, I think, that's required. So it may not be as dramatic as perhaps anticipated, but there's still hope. I think there's still hope we can get a deal. The UK stance is to go for, and Europe for that matter, is to go for these 11th hour deals. There's still plenty of time.
You say businesses, or what businesses will be left after the coronavirus pandemic? I mean, people are furloughed at the moment, but the signs are that there are going to be millions more unemployed by the end of it. And then if you heap a no-deal Brexit on top of that, it's hard to see how even the most robust companies can survive.
Companies will survive, they'll adapt. Someone always talking with a guy who used to run our corporate bank, he said, you know, businesses are very, very adaptable. They understand the circumstances which they operate in, they get business done, and they change and adapt to meet the circumstances. So listen, I think we'll continue to thrive. Whether it's ideal, clearly that's not the case. Any disruption at this point would be particularly harmful. So we still hope, we still expect a deal to be done.
Well, I'm glad you had a word with your mates at Waitrose anyway, because, I mean, he's sort of come down firmly against chlorinated chicken. You know, you told him you don't want any chlorinated chicken on the Cobb and barbecue, and that's it.
Yeah, that was probably the end of that. You're obsessed with chlorinated chicken, aren't you?
No, well, not really, because we're not going to have it. No, no, not knowingly.
Why are you against it?
I don't think it's particularly healthy. I don't think it's a good way to sort of to treat, not animals, because they're dead already by then, but just washing them in chlorine does not seem like a good
doesn't
idea.
Doesn't sound appetising, I have to say. There must be a better way to market it than chlorinated chicken, it has to be said. So yeah. I don't think that'll be on the shelves of the Waitrose in Cobmore, or indeed the Potts household.
Not to mention the hormone-fed beef.
Okay, let's try and allow people to enjoy their weekend.
You'll be growing horns if you ate any of that.
Some food at some point.
Right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.24 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.12. Going to get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
Right, have a lovely weekend.
Enjoy your weekend, sir.
Speak to you on Monday. Hank Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
A 14-year-old boy has drowned in a river in Sorgues in the Vaucluse. Emergency services intervened shortly after 4 p.m. on Thursday, but were unable to save the teenager, who was at the time swimming with friends. Police have launched an investigation to determine the exact circumstances. In other news, a bus has caught fire on the RM6202 near Saint-Genès. The incident occurred on Thursday afternoon. Traffic was disrupted in both directions as firefighters intervened, managing to prevent the flames from spreading. All passengers along with the driver managed to evacuate the vehicle and no injuries were reported. The French government has announced plans to launch large-scale coronavirus testing in the Greater Paris region. The move comes in an attempt to identify possible coronavirus clusters. France's current test and trace system offers tests on prescription to people with possible COVID-19 symptoms or those who have been in contact with a sick person. Under the new scheme, even those who display no symptoms would be able to get tested. Meanwhile, at a parliament hearing on Wednesday, the head of the University Hospital in Marseille, Didier Raoult, has denounced the French government's archaic virus testing, as well as the ban on an anti-malaria drug to treat COVID-19 patients. The doctor, who advocates the use of hydroxychloroquine to combat COVID-19, accused his critics of a conflict of interest with pharmaceutical companies. Professor Raoult was quizzed by lawmakers for over 3 hours as they sought to evaluate the government's handling of the health crisis and Raoult's role in it. The mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has confirmed that the second stage of the Tour de France will take place on September the 6th, passing through Saint-Martin, Torini and Ayres. It's the first time that this stage of the race will take place in the region, with more than 10,000 cyclists expected to take part. Figures have shown that the Alpes-Maritimes and the Var are the most popular destinations in France this summer. The two regions come top of the list for the most reserved destinations in France on online rental platforms. And finally, Simple Minds have postponed their concert, which was due to take place in Monaco this summer. It was originally planned for August the 7th at the Salle des Étoiles as part of the band's European tour, but has now been postponed to July the 23rd, 2021. Ticket holders are invited to contact the place where they bought their tickets for further information.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, there's only one story in town this morning. Yep, Chelsea beat Manchester City 2-1. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. Liverpool have been crowned champions for the first time in 30 years. Chelsea's 2-1 victory over Manchester City ensured Liverpool won their first title of the Premier League era with 7 games to spare. Christian Pulisic put Chelsea ahead. Kevin De Bruyne equalised with a stunning free kick before Willian sealed the win for Chelsea with a penalty. Champions for the last 2 seasons, City have watched Liverpool close the gap between the two sides. This season, Liverpool have been beaten just once in 31 matches so far, earning praise from the City boss Pep Guardiola.
They're playing incredible season, yeah. They play really good. Do you know, 2 seasons ago, we were 100 points and they finished more than 25 points behind, so this last season they recovered that distance and this season they won the distance. So.
The former Liverpool defender Stephen Warnock says last season's disappointment was the catalyst for Liverpool's performance this time around.
the way that City played last year was phenomenal. The run that they went on, and I think Liverpool players actually held their hands up and just said, OK, we've got to get better. And that was the acceptance of it. That was the bar that City had set. And they said, well, we're going to have to raise the bar of our levels and try and reach that. What they've done this year is they've psychologically beat City. They've been so strong. They've been able to grind out 1-0 results. They've been solid defensively. And you only have to watch City tonight to realise why they aren't what they were last year, because of the defensive mistakes that they make. They're an incredible team. Passing-wise, expansive football, but defensively, Liverpool have been streets ahead of them, and that's what's won them the title.
Elsewhere on Thursday, Arsenal recorded their first win since the restart. Goals from Eddie Nketiah and Joe Willock earned them a 2-0 win over Southampton. And Watford's hopes of Premier League survival suffered a setback when they were beaten 1-0 at Burnley. It leaves Watford in 16th place, a point above the relegation zone. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Oh, well, at least Marcel will be happy this morning.
He's
not as happy as some people, though, obviously.
You'll never celebrate alone.
There's one game in the English Championship tonight. Brentford play West Brom. It's FA Cup quarter-finals weekend in England. Norwich play Manchester United tomorrow.
Oh, Man U.
Yeah, it's got to be, really, isn't it? Sunday, Sheffield United against Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to Sheffield United. They've lost all their three games since they restarted, haven't they, Arsenal? Just don't know. I know I'm going to go for Sheffield United, though, I think.
Oh, OK.
Leicester against Chelsea.
Chelsea.
You think so?
Yeah.
OK. And Newcastle against Manchester City.
Man City.
Yeah. Only two games in the English Premier League this weekend. Then Aston Villa against Wolves.
No, Wolves.
I think another win for Wolves there, yes, and more misery for Aston Villa. Watford against Southampton.
Southampton.
Well, they're going to have to start winning soon, Watford, so I'll take them for a win. And Crystal Palace against Burnley on Monday.
Burnley.
Palace. Cricket. West Indies coach Phil Simmons says there are no injury concerns over skipper Jason Holder, who took little part in their first warm-up game against the Test Series, ahead of the Test Series against England. Holder has a slight ankle niggle, but is expected to play in the next four-day warm-up game. And in golf, Mackenzie Hughes of Canada leads after the first round of the Travellers Championship following a 60-10 under par. Hughes narrowly missed out in a round of 59 and leads by three shots from Rory McIlroy and Xander Schiffler. Phil Mickelson and Sergio Garcia is on 6-under. The event at Cromwell, Connecticut went ahead despite one player and two caddies testing positive for coronavirus.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
The coastal area is up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the VAR. The general situation is high pressure, 1,017 millibars over the region. Winds are northeasterly, force 2 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,017 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 northeasterly winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are easterly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,018 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 easterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Clear skies and coastal areas, thundery showers inland this afternoon, light variable or southeasterly winds. Temperatures 27 degrees on the coast, 30 degrees inland, overnight lows 20 degrees on the coast, 17 degrees inland with clear skies. The weekend partially cloudy, showers inland, highs of 26 to 30 degrees. Glad to see it's not going to be too hot because I have lots of gardening to do tomorrow.
No, it should be just right, I would have
thought. Starting at a very early hour to avoid the heat, finally.
A recent poll has... Oh, you could do the gardening in your underwear, because a recent poll has found that some men have admitted to keeping underwear for more than 20 years. The poll found that the average British man only buys new pants once every 5 years. But even when they do decide to get new briefs, partners or parents often buy the essential item as birthday or Christmas gifts. More than 2 in 5 men admitted their partners buy their underwear, while more than a third still rely on their mothers. This comes after a YouGov survey found loose-fitting boxer shorts are the undergarment of choice for 38% of men. It found briefs or Y-fronts were favoured by 27%.
Y-fronts?
Well, 25%.
Y-fronts? Scots, I think my granddad used to wear.
Preferred a tighter boxer. Experts said the reason for briefs' popularity is due to support, particularly with men who use the gym frequently.
Right. You heard about the man who got arrested for nicking underwear in Marks and Sparks?
No.
He refused to talk to the police until he'd spoken to his brief. You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieradio.mc.